Welcome back to the Matter of Facts podcast on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. We talk prepping, guns, and politics every week on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Go check out our content at MOFpodcast.com on Facebook or Instagram. You can support us via Patreon or by checking out our affiliate partners. I'm your host, Phil Rabley, and my co-host, Andrew Bobo, is on the other side of the mic, and here's your show. Welcome back to Matter of Facts podcast out here at Prepper Camp on Twin 2023 in Saluda, North Carolina.
Day one.
Day one, Friday. So we've never done this before, Andrew, as far as like doing podcasts out here in the vendors area. Hey, everybody. There are attendees walking by, and we're just going to record a podcast out here in front of everybody, which is a little bit odd considering I'm used to being sequestered away in my office with some privacy.
My blinds are usually drawn. I'm by myself.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not like we're not on every government watch list already, but, you know, I like my neighbors to not know what kind of weird stuff I'm into most of the time. But the weather's gorgeous. I think the highs are like 75 degrees this weekend. Very minimal rain chance. A little bit of morning dew, but otherwise, freaking gorgeous out here.
It feels like Michigan.
It feels like Louisiana, just not this month in Louisiana. It's still hot down south. So what do you think so far? I mean, we've already met a couple of people that listen to the show. That's been interesting. A couple that are local to me, some local to you.
Well, so far it's a good turnout. There's been a constant stream of people. Looking around at the tents, they're not as full as they probably will be tomorrow, but a lot of people are going to show up tomorrow, but
yeah.
No, it's going to be good. Obviously, this is day one at 9:33 in the morning of day one, so we won't have anything to really talk about until tomorrow, but it was good. Last night was good. I think we got in at about 2 p.m., a 12-hour drive. You got in shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
Set up and everything, and I think we had a big circle sitting around the campfire for the first night. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good first night, and yeah. So I'm looking forward to the first day.
Yeah. Now the only downside of us doing this in capacity we are this year is that we're not going to be attending a lot of classes. More than likely.
No, not a lot of classes. There's some really good classes this year, but unfortunately, I don't know. Maybe we might be able to sneak away. And catch something, but
yeah, I mean, I see a lot of the traditional really excellent classes that come out here a lot. Actually, Mike Shelby's out this year, so that class is coming back to Prepper Camp. He's been out for a few years.
Yep, Mike Shelby, and they have another one. Wes is teaching, so.
Yep, and we have a lot of our old standbys: home defense, getting off grid, everything. Rick and Jane teach is always an awesome class. And a really fun time. I do have to say, though, we're missing Dave Jones, our resident comedian.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a downer, because Dave's hilarious, in addition to knowing more than almost anybody about, you know, how the world's going to end when somebody cooks off a nuke.
Yeah, so this is the year that's going to happen, because he's not here to protect us and give us insight.
Yeah, let's not speak that into existence.
But, no, it's going to be good. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. Ryan, you want to get in here? Or are you going to be a silent partner of this show?
Yeah.
Yep, Ryan from the... I did not plug in a third mic like I said
that's
I was
okay.
going to.
Here, come on in.
We'll get intimate over here with Andrew.
Oh, hey. Am I on camera?
Yes, you're on camera.
Candid camera. Yeah. That's great.
You did your hair, so that's good.
I did.
Yeah.
I had to get dolled up for the show. Right.
Yep. So this is Ryan from a New Generation podcast on PBN.
Yep. Colin's over there too, slacking like normal. So
I mean, he's slacking compared to you, but compared to like every other boy his age, he's actually doing okay.
He's doing all right. You know, I think he's doing all right, which is, and I got to say, he's doing better than I was at his age, which is, that is something that I am proud of as a parent.
Good role model.
I would like to say that, but I think a lot of it goes into just, you know, coaching a little bit and open their eyes and let them know that there's more out there than what's being taught in school and, you know, what's happening on the news and all that kind of stuff. I mean,
I firmly believe in raised by example because, I mean, like, my daughter's 11 years old and she loves Minecraft and Roblox as much as the next kid, but... It does my heart good to see that, like, she does pick up and learn a lot of the things that Gillian and I try to teach her about, because, like you said, there is more than
what she's going to learn in, God forbid, the public school system, even though she's in private school now. But the point remains, there's just this more out there that these kids need to be aware of and to learn. And I feel like it's things that probably our generation was taught, but then somewhere along the line, they forgot.
Yeah.
You know, like how to respond to emergencies, how to deal with floods and blizzards and hurricanes and everything. And people just, they forgot. They forgot you're supposed to do these things so that all when hell breaks loose, you can take care of your family.
Yeah. And it's, everything has become so convenient that people aren't comfortable with being inconvenienced. And, you know, even I like to look around and see what kind of new gadgets and things are coming around. But on the other hand, I come and I see the difference between people who are interested and want to learn and, you know, what they're putting out there, like what they're actually doing at the campsite, what they're doing, you know, with their tent setups. You got radios and hams and, you know, like we packed ultralight to get here on a plane, but you got people who went to the nines with, you know, some of the gear that they brought, traveled hundreds, if not thousands of miles in some cases. So it's just neat to see what's happening here. And again, for the 10th year now, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so, we can't forget that. This is the 10th year anniversary of Pepper Camp. So, it's interesting to see, and it's good to see. It's interesting to see how it's grown. And I like that it's been 10 years, and it's still prevalent. Like, people are still showing up. New people are still showing up, but then you still have people that they come every year. And, I don't know, it's still piquing people's interest, so that's always good.
I think it's interesting that it's more relevant now, I feel like, than it was 10 years ago. Because, like, you know, I was talking to Eric from Fortitude Ranch about this a second ago. Like, when we first came to Prepper Camp several years ago now, it felt like a lot of the people that were here already had some interest in prepping, and they were looking for more knowledge. They were looking to find their tribe. But as the years have progressed, we see more and more normal people showing up that this is their first exposure to this entire way of thinking. And it's been encouraging, because I'm glad they see the writing on the wall and they're saying, hey, there are some things going on. We should probably get an extra can of rice and beans just in case. And it's encouraging that they're finding this event and they're finding these people and they are availing themselves of that knowledge.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what has happened here and how this place has grown. And the fact that the way this is set up to educate people, not to sell stuff. I'm a total gear junkie. I bought a bunch of new gear with me that I wanted to test out and see how it worked for the camp and just in general for my own stuff. But the big thing here, and was mentioned last night, that around the fire, is what you keep up here, you know?
Yep.
That ultra lightweight knowledge that keeps you basically afloat when you got nothing. And that's what I think Rick and Jane are doing here with all the education, the courses. They got rid of 20 courses from last year and brought in 20 new courses. So it's constantly changing and growing. There's only so much you can fit into a day. And I mean, even if you show up, this is my third year here, and I've attended courses and I still have not been able to attend every course.
Yep.
So it's pretty amazing the variety and the level of education that you can get from something like this. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the encouraging part to me is the fact that the majority of these vendors, the majority of these instructors, if you catch them after, like, outside of a class, they will brain dump you for an hour because they know their subject, they're passionate about it, and if you want to learn, like, that's been the one thing that's been really cool for me to watch in prepping is that there's not a lot of gatekeeping. There are a few, but as a general rule, I find that usually in most subcultures, you end up in a situation where the person that's already been initiated, that's kind of in the middle of the pack as far as knowledge, is very happy to share what they have, but the experts tend to want to hoard that knowledge to maintain their relevance, and I don't see that in prepping.
No.
In prepping, I see people who, they know a subject better than anybody else, and they will talk your ear off as long as you want to listen, because they want you to know.
Yeah.
Because they understand that if we hoard this knowledge, we're not doing the community any favors. We have to get other people to see what we see and to take notice of it and to look at ways to insulate themselves from life's emergencies.
Yeah. And that mainstream knowledge is something that I think we're to the point, I think, as a nation where it's got to be in every household. I mean,
like it used to be.
And, you know, there's enough people out there who still frown on it to where it's like, okay, I hate to say it, but you're on your own, because I'm not going to be able to do much for you if you're not going to be willing to listen. So, as, you know, in our own private lives, we all spend time talking to our coworkers or new acquaintances, family members, or whatever. And there's those people who are just, they still think you're wearing a tinfoil hat. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you're the one pulling out the flashlight when they need it. You're the one pulling out the pen when they need it. You know, you're the one pulling their truck out of the ditch when they need it.
You know, funny you mentioned that. A couple years ago, I was attending an offsite class from my workplace, and we were in one of the spare administrative buildings at the local state college. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, this building was in the middle of a mechanical renovation while we were in one of the classrooms that was finished. Well, apparently, on one of the days we were there having the class, they were in the process of dealing with the emergency lights and everything that are supposed to automatically click on whenever the power goes out. It's part of building code. Yep. Well, those were all disconnected and the power went out. So we were on the second story in a completely dark room with no exterior windows, pitch black, and the power goes out. And everybody's like, let's give it a minute. Well, 2-3 minutes pass, lights aren't coming back on. And so people are pulling out their cell phones, turn on their lights on their little cell phones, and they're like, okay, well, we got to be real careful going down the stairwell because the elevator's out. And then Captain 300 lumens with my little stream light pops it on, and I'm literally like blasting it down the stairwell so that everybody can see the stairs to walk down.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I had had multiple people see me with this flashlight in my back pocket because I work in an office building. It's a blue collar, it's a white collar job. And they were all like, why do you carry a flashlight? And I was like, because people don't see well in the dark.
Yeah.
Well, guess how many people have given me any have said anything about me carrying that light after that day?
Zero.
Exactly zero. Because all of a sudden, the crazy guy that always has that does the weird things came in real handy all of a sudden. Yeah. So, like, that's always what I tell people. I'm like, all prepping is, as a mindset, is acknowledging that things happen. And I would like to not be inconvenienced by the things happening.
Yeah.
Like,
that's all there is to it.
Just, yeah.
Well, that's what, because I carry a flashlight every day, and that's at work one day. Someone was like, it's daylight. Why do you carry one during the day? I go, because it turns night. In about 4 hours, it's going to be dark out.
Uh-oh.
And, I said, in about 4 hours, it's going to be dark out, and I want to be able to see. So yeah, so it's good, you know, it's good to be prepared, and it's just good to have that mindset, and I don't know, just refuse to be a victim kind of thing, mentality, you know, you never know what's going to happen, so.
If anything, the light is probably the simplest and clearest way to define what a prepper really is someone who just provides light in a time of darkness.
Yeah.
You know, whether that light is spiritual, physical, you know, maybe it's lightening the load, but it's some form of illumination that is provided by preppers that people don't realize until we're there next to them. And we're like, hey, look, we'll get through this together, or, you know, whatever. But we're not going to suffer more because none of us aren't ready. At least we got somebody on the team who's got their stuff together.
Well, that's what we always joke about is this weekend. It's like, you know, what prepper bingo, you know, it's you're cooking or you're doing something. It's like, hey, oh crap, I forgot a ladle. I forgot a spoon or I forgot this, whatever. Who's got this and stuff like that. So, no, it's interesting. But what else are you looking forward to this weekend?
Finishing my bite that I just put in my mouth. Actually, I'm really looking forward to some of the new classes. There's Sarah's incorporating a new extended version of her class where she's doing one on
restraint escapes.
Yeah, basically how to
self-defense.
It's self-defense, but to not get kidnapped.
Oh yeah.
Abduction. Basically.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in seeing that because there's a lot of interest, and I'm hoping that she is able to pack that class full. There's a really cool one that I just heard about earlier today. Guy down the way, he's doing one on artificial intelligence and how to maintain your online identity by, you know, masking it in certain ways. So I'm really interested in doing that. I did a lot of the stuff that I really want to do is on the same time slot as my presentation. So
it always works that way.
You know, the brain tanning one is one that I've wanted to catch for 3 years, and it just seems to hit every year the same time slot. And then the wilderness foraging one, that one is one that I wanted to check out. It's also at the same time slot. So, you know, you just can't get enough in this weekend. But I think one of the biggest things is just seeing everybody. You know, we do this every year, and it's become a tradition. And I think, you know, what, like we were talking around the campfire last night, it's, you know, it's a family reunion without the family. But
My wife calls this the chosen family.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we all work together without having a real moment together except for right here on this weekend. You know, through the network or through Sarah's project or even just communicating offhand on other topics or, you know, going on each other's podcasts and stuff like that. But, you know, being able to meet each other in person and continue that relationship and realize that we're all real people, you know, and we're all doing this for everyone else. It's awesome. It's an experience for sure. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to belabor this too long, but I do want to just tell everybody, for anybody that's going to see this that isn't here this weekend, couldn't be here this weekend, I say it every year. If you only come out to Prepper Camp one time, I feel like it's an event worth attending. Like, I don't do a lot of extracurricular stuff outside of the home. I'm a hermit. I like my peace. But this is one of those few events where you're not coming to be proselytized to. You're not coming to buy stuff. You're not coming out here to have stuff pushed on you. It is truly a window into a different lifestyle and a mindset that has the ability to insulate your family from harm. And like most of us have somebody that we care about enough to put ourselves in harm's way, whether it's nieces and nephews and your parents and aunt and uncle, or whether it's your children or your spouses. It always comes back to, these are the people in my life that I want to stand between harm and them. And whether it's self-defense training, whether it's firearms, whether it's just the ability to maintain their well-being and feed them when all hell breaks loose, it all comes back down to this idea of, my family will be the last one standing if I have anything to say about it. And I tell people all the time who don't get into prepping, I'm like, you have money in a savings account, right? You have air in your spare tire, right? All of those things are because you acknowledge bad things happen and I need to be able to respond to it. Well, Darren Swain, your response and my response is, I also have air in my spare tire, and I also have a savings account and an IRA and all that other stuff normal people have. But if you can't eat your spare tire and you can't eat your IRA, but I can eat 6 months worth of provisions in my house. So I tell everybody all the time, I'm like, if you do all these things that are normal activities to guard against your family being without, you should probably look into this lifestyle too, because this is just an extension of that. And yeah, we do talk about funny things like, you know, EMPs and Teotihuacan, but call it what it is. Most people got into prepping because there are blizzards, and there are floods, and there are fires, and there is job loss, and there are hurricanes and tornadoes. You know, Uncle Randy's notorious for saying, yeah, I'm getting ready for the zombies, but what's your zombie?
Yeah. Well, I think the work side of thing is a big one to me, because, I mean, your example with the flashlight was spot on. What I find is a lot of times we're there. I mean, you spend, the majority of Americans will spend more time working than they spend with their families, which is a sad truth. And when you realize that in some instances you need to be there for the guys you work with, that is something that is really eye-opening to some folks, because they just want to not be there for anybody. But there are times, and I've fed coworkers at times on the road because they don't have any money, or they forgot something, or something went awry. You know, maybe I had to help put somebody up in a hotel room or something like that. Or, you know, we got stranded somewhere and we wound up doing this. I mean, talk about driving down the side of the road and outside of East Helena, Montana, and our diesel truck started gelling up because it was so cold that the wind chill factor was freezing. It was gelling the fuel as we were driving. I mean, there's stuff that happens and among the people in your lives, if you are ready for simple things. And people look at you funny, like, why are you bringing that big cooler? We're only going to be gone for a week. You know, we can get food when we're there. You know, when people start relying on your cooler, they start to open up to some of these types of things. And it's like a piece of bread, you know, and it's something that opens up a doorway, or it makes it to where it's not scary and boogeyman and zombies. It's real situations with real people that you love and that you spend a fair amount of time with.
Yeah.
And eventually, by doing that, by giving and showing people that, hey, it can be done and there's a reason for this, more people will do it. And it lightens the load of everybody, because like just here with everybody doing stuff, the bingo thing, you know, I might not have something to help myself out. I tried to pack what I needed, but I could only pack so much. You might have forgot something. You might have something, you know, and it's weird coming to a place like this and going camping and never needing anything. It's a strange phenomenon, because every time I go camping, I need something. You know, I forgot something.
Or what's funny, what I always laugh at is, you know, leading up to this, I'm always thinking of, okay, what food can I bring, you know, whether it's feed everybody or just feed myself. But then I go home and I'm like, every year it's, well, crap, I have all this food I still need to eat when I go home, because everybody thinks the same. So they're like, okay, well, we need provisions for, you know, the weekend. Plus, if we have maybe, you know, if we feed somebody else, or if we, something happens, like, you know, so I mean, I brought a bunch of Mountain House and stuff like that. And so, yeah, so like I have way more food than I need, but I don't know. I'd rather have enough and not eat it and take it home and be like, oh crap, I guess I got a meal prep for the next 4 days and cook it up. So it's, I don't know, it's whatever, but no, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward. I want to sit in your class, and there's a couple classes I'd like to take. Have to sneak away from the booth here, but
I'll let you off the hook here and there.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not a slave driver.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, but it's not like he's paid, so I have to cut him some slack here and there.
Right.
I mean, he could just throw the mic in my face and say bye.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the classes. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. And, I mean, it's been, yeah, I know we have a chat group that we talk to each other. And whenever I do see the chat, and I try to chime in,
300 messages later.
Yeah, usually it's, you know, but no, this is like the one time a year that we get together, catch up. And yeah, it's awesome to see everybody. Great weather. And so, yeah, so, if you're coming to Prepper Camp, we are in, our booth is actually between, Toolman Tim and PrepperNet. So look us up, find us, and say hi.
Yeah, and a little shout out to anybody that's hearing this that happens to be a prepper camp, because the plan, if the internets and Skynet cooperate with me, is as soon as we wrap here in a minute, I'm going to upload this to our podcast feed. If you happen to be one of the people who was just taking note of the QR codes we have posted here at the booth to check out the podcast, and you hear this today on Friday, and you happen to be here tomorrow, stop by the booth and say, hey, I heard your podcast yesterday. Just, you know, for that personal gratification feedback, so that I know my master plan to spit this out at camp actually worked out well.
And if you are somebody who does do that, come up to us. Maybe we have a patch or something we can give you.
Yeah, there might be some swag involved.
A high five.
A high five. Well, maybe even a good game tiger.
Yeah.
Well, I'm teaching freeze drying for survival here at 10:15.
What are you teaching? Say it again.
Oh, freeze drying for survival. So that's going to be at 10:15 every day this week, well, weekend. And I got to bail out so I can go get started. But if you're interested, come check it out. And if you want to talk about it after the fact, just let me know.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for sitting down with us. And
yeah, no problem.
We'll see you around.
See you guys.
Yeah, you too. We'll
see
you around.
Take care, Phil. So, yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and punt this one out the door. I imagine that these morning shows will be, I mean, they'll be as long as they need to be.
Yeah.
We're on kind of a loose recording schedule. But if you happen to hear this and you are at all you're at Prepper Camp this weekend, you're at all curious about coming on to the podcast as an attendee, as a guest, even as a vendor, I don't care. But come and sit down and talk with us. Grab a microphone and talk to the audience about what your experience is out here at camp. Talk to us about, I mean, I'm really hoping at the end of this weekend, Andrew, we can get at least a couple of just average attendees stop by. Because I would love to know what their experience is from Prepper Camp.
Yeah.
I've already asked a couple people, and I think the idea of like them being on the internet for all the public to see was like, eh, and I get that. But
if you're willing to be a little bit brave, we'll put you in witness protection, turn the camera off, and use an assumed name. I mean, we'll go to that length if we have to.
Yeah.
But this is the Matter of Facts podcast. We are out here at Prepper Camp on Friday. It is almost 10 a.m. local. The sun is shining. The weather is freaking gorgeous. And it is going to be another wonderful year at Prepper Camp. The 10-year anniversary of Prepper Camp. And I just have to say, Rick and Jane Austin, y'all thought up a beautiful event. And it has turned into probably like the premier prepping event in the country. I will die on that hill. So yeah, if you're out here, stop by the booth and say hi. If you're not out here, I'm going to tell you that tickets start going on sale about Thanksgiving, and y'all really need to try to make the effort to come out. It is worth the drive. But Matter of Facts podcast heading out the door, or out of the tent, I guess. Bye, everybody.
See ya.